it's not a game of numbers, but you want to preach to somebody that needs to be saved. And then, for the will of the Father is that all men be saved. Aim, come into the knowledge of the truth. How can you come into the knowledge of the truth if you don't even show up in a church that preach rightly divided? Now, I'm going to tell you, some people in here may disagree with me, but the fact, let me cut my phone off, can I? Some people may disagree, but you can be saved without knowing one iota about rightly dividing the word of truth. But you cannot come into the knowledge of the truth without knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth. It ain't going to happen. You can study until all day, for years and years and years, and die saved, and never have. You can get that peace and that joy because you're saved. You're not at enmity and hatred with the Lord any longer. But you don't know a whole lot other than, can you even sit down? You're saved now. Can you even sit down and tell somebody how you know you're saved? I mean, my God, that's the most significant day in a man's and woman's entire life, no matter how old they get to be. If you can't tell somebody how you know you're saved, How can they get saved if you're supposed to be witnessing to them? You're an ambassador for Christ. You know, and I'm going to say something in here. Boy, this is going to get some rumbles, but we've done it before. I've talked about it. Richard really talked about a whole service on it. Lynn called me up. He called me up. Two or three days ago. And we finished our conversation. He said, "Hey, brother, before you leave," because I had to go, he said, I want to tell you something that I found in the Scriptures." Oh, man, I'm waiting. I can't bring it on. He said, "Over here in Acts 11, where those were first called Christians at Antioch," I said, "I know." He said, "You know they're not Christians." I said, "Yes, I know they're not Christians. We are not Christians." Now, I say it myself. Yeah, I'll talk about us Christians. We're ambassadors for Christ. Nowhere did Paul say that we're Christians. That is in Acts chapter 11, which I don't know if we'll talk about today, but that's the church at Jerusalem who owned that church. And if you'll look in verses 19 and 20, you're going to see it's those that were scattered in Acts chapter 8 that's being preached, that were doing the preaching and being preached to. Anyway, go over to Acts chapter 9.
Can I give a little testimony this week?
Yes, you can. Take your time.
There is a lady that's at work at the base. And she is a witch. I mean, she's a but she's a real nice person. And she's a pagan witch.
Wicked.
Yeah, she is. She's a real one.
I know they exist.
And everybody calls her the witch, and they do it affectionately because they like her, and I like her because she's just a nice person. Well, anyways, I've just been praying for a time, a chance to witness to her and whatever, and I talked to her about several different topics and stuff, and I knew some things about mortgage brokerage and help her, you know, save some money and do some different things like that, opening up the door. Well, anyways, I didn't bring it up. She did. And it happened not last night, but the night before last. We talked for 3 hours. About Christ and about what he did for her. Well, what brought it up was she turned on her favorite radio station and Christian music came on. And so she turned the channel off and because she didn't believe in God at all. And had her family there. And so we drove a few miles, and it probably just one of those channel things back on there. Apparently, the music came on like normal and everything, and it cut off, and the Christian music came on.
Exactly.
And said, "Well, it must be that we should be listening to this." So we're listening to this, and she says at that point the lights came on, and she all of a sudden believed in God again. She was raised Catholic and had gone to the Methodist Church and done all this kind of stuff, but all of a sudden. Oh,
to see what Jesus Christ said. Go over to Matthew chapter 4, would you, real quick. Hold on to Acts 9, because that's where we started. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read these real quick. We read them last week. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Well, actually, I want to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I want you to see what he didn't say. Look at verse 23. We saw the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? That's that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ after the tribulation. But in verse 23, this is what Christ did. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." What's the difference in those two scriptures? One is talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom. The other one is talking about the gospel of that kingdom. There's a difference right there. One's a gospel. Gospel. Gospel is what? God spelled. And it's good news. I ain't going to go into the Greek. I had some guy try to hit me with a Greek Tuesday night. Thomas did after y'all left. You know, gospel is not good news, he says. Yes, it is. But that's the Anglo-Saxon word. It's good news for that word. So, but it's God's spell. Now, with that said, go over to Matthew chapter 10. Real quick, because we got to get going. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He's talking to the 12. As ye go, Jesus says, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." He's making a statement again that the kingdom is at hand. It's not. He's not. That's not the gospel there, but he's just telling, "Hey, the kingdom is at hand." You know. Now, go over to 9:35. What did Jesus do again?
What was that reference again?
Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went all about the cities and villages. Now he's in Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's emphasizing the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? Now, go over to Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. I don't know if you've ever distinguished between those two scriptures like that. But anyway, I was reading it last night and I said, I didn't bring that out when I was talking about it the other day. I'm telling you, this book is so amazing. You can read it. And I don't care if you read it 100 times. You can still get something out of the same scripture. It's a living, breathing book to me. In Mark chapter 1, and I want to go to verse 14. "Now, after that John," that's talking about John the Baptist, "was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." The kingdom of God is at hand again. I thought that's significant. Back to back, he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. What you need to do to get into this kingdom that's at hand.
Okay. Repenting and believing.
He says you what you do. Yeah. Repent. You know, John the Baptist was preaching the baptism of repentance and confession. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The gospel. Okay. Now, back over to, we mentioned in Acts chapter 8, guys, about, real quick, Acts chapter 7, where Paul, he was not Paul then, he was Saul, he was consenting unto Stephen's death. And he committed blasphemy where he could not be forgiven out of Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12 real quick, and let's show you that. So you'll gather onto this thing, Matthew chapter 12, go to verse 31. And there's others, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus himself said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Now, we know when that's going to be. It wasn't right there, like we have our atonement right now. That's going to be at the second coming of Christ. But, it don't matter. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow, my gosh. That's pretty heavy, don't you think? Now, while you're there, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to show you something about this man, Saul, who later become Paul. Maybe I shouldn't do it right now, but I'm going to.
1 Timothy 1?
Yep. 1 Timothy 1. Now, I'm going to come back to this later. And Paul's talking about himself in verse 13. He's talking about who himself was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, the thing of it is, who was a blasphemer? This shows me and it tells me that the Saul, who later become our Apostle Paul in Acts 13:9, when his name was changed from a Hebrew name into a Gentile name, that he could not be saved based upon Matthew chapter 12, 30, 30, 31, 32, because of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He could not be saved. Judaism wasn't working for him. He couldn't be saved in a little flock because of this blasphemy. And when the Lord struck him down, which we're going to see, that's the only alternative he had. So you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit today and still go to heaven. Should you? Well, no. But you can. But...
See, that's because of the disciples. They didn't believe that he was really saved, remember. They questioned, you know.
Who is
this guy? Yeah. Who is this guy?
Now, true, in Acts chapter 7, we see here in verse 58, we're talking about Stephen, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, Stephen, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul. Well, I tell you what, go over to Acts chapter 5 and let's see what was happening with Saul. I'm going to show you this man. I talked about this the other day. We're talking about the little flock. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Not the little flock wasn't, but this is the Jews. They couldn't stand what Peter and the little flock was representing. In verse 34, Then stood there up one in the council, the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. I wanted you to see that this man had a reputation amongst the Jews, far exceeded anybody. He was a PhD of a PhD of a PhD. He was the smartest man of that time in the law. Now, go over to Romans. Acts 22. Now, of course, this is after Saul, who became Paul, got saved. I'm going to show you what he says in Acts chapter 22, and I'm going to start in verse 1. He's here, and he's making a confession, in a sense, and he started speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue. He said in verse 1 of Acts chapter 22, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. In other words, their ears perked up. And he said, this is what Paul says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city," that's Jerusalem, "at the feet of the man we just read about in Acts chapter 5, in Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and was zealous toward God, and as you all are this day." Let me see what I want to do. I got this. I don't want to go there. Okay. So I wanted you to see about what's happening here, that he was taught in the Sanhedrin. He was taught under the very best. He was a Jew of a Jew. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. This man, he excelled above and beyond any of his peers. He was the man to take over. I would say Gamaliel's place. One day when that man died, he was going to take that place because he was the man. in charge. Back over to Acts chapter 7, and it's whenever they stones, and you ain't got to go there, go to Acts chapter 8. And Saul was the man that was sitting there holding the cloaks and the clothes of whatever that these people that stoned Stephen with. And he was giving his consent to that. Yes, I'm for this. I'm a Jew, man. I'm a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Pharisees.
Kill them.
He consenting unto their death, over in chapter 8, in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, that's talking about Stephen again. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is, was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, that's what he did. The apostles didn't leave Jerusalem. They may have stepped out a little while. They came back. But the other people were scattered. Those other Jews were scattered. Verse 3. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. And we're talking about the church in Jerusalem out of Matthew 16, 18, was the rock Jesus Christ established. Now, that's not the church, the body of Christ, that we're in, the spiritual, invisible church. Now, to every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I want you to see this because I'm going to Acts 9 now. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, that's the people that were under persecution. That wasn't the apostles. They were disciples. Went everywhere preaching the word. So those disciples went everywhere preaching the word. You didn't have to be an apostle to preach. They went. Those people that were scattered went and preached the word. Go over to Acts chapter 9. And verse 1. And Saul, we finally caught up to where I want to be. And Saul, remember his name hasn't changed. Hebrew name. Yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, who was probably Caiaphas at the time, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto the 12 apostles was preaching. That's what it is, that of this way.
Repent
and be baptized for remission of sins. Absolutely. And they were doing that. And if he could get you, man, he wanted you dead. Cut your head off, whatever the case may be. Or imprison you, whatever it was. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. We're talking Syria. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you, I just mentioned Damascus, Syria. What do you think? Syria is a player, guys, in this world that we're going to be frontage with. You already see it. It's already caused havoc with us in the United States. Already. But there's a problem over there. But that's where Damascus was. Now, and he, as Saul, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? It was the Lord. He knew it. He called him Lord. A Lord means honor. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You believe he persecuted Jesus? Absolutely he did. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, and he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? But it didn't take long to convince him, did it? Just like that. That's how the Holy Spirit works. But in this case, it was Jesus Christ appearing to him in heaven with the greatest light that was ever known since the creation. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, and you can go in verse 9, he lost his sight for 3 days, didn't eat and drink anything. And then in verse 10, this guy named Ananias, it's not Ananias and Sapphira, this is another Ananias. He said, behold, I am here, Lord. Ananias did, and the Lord said unto him, and you can read that. Ananias was just scared to death. He said, to paraphrase, he said, Lord, this is a man that's been persecuting my faith. He's killing us, you know, and you want me to go to him and tell him? He's going to whack my head off. No. And then he said, in verse 15, go thy way, and I'll put Ananias in there, for he is a chosen vessel. Who's the chosen vessel?
Paul, Saul at the time, come on in, George, and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that man suffered just about everything known, well, any way you can hurt a person, try to change his mind, any cruel way, any method whatsoever that could cause him pain and try to turn him away from the Lord, which wouldn't have done any good. He had already been saved and sealed by this time. But anyway, let's continue. And then he did that and so forth. And I want to tell you, he baptized Paul in water because that's the only thing Ananias ever knew. He did. Now, in verse 20, what did Saul, if you hear me say Paul, it's the same guy. Okay, so I'm allowed to say that. But right now, it's still Saul. And straightway, Saul preached Christ in the synagogues and that he is the Son of God. Well, what's that? Go over to Romans. Hold on here. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Well, actually, I want to go further than that. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Hold on to that, too. And go over to Acts. Chapter 26.
Acts
26. Hold on to 9, go to Romans 1, and go to Acts 26. Verse 20. In Acts 26, verse 20, scriptures, which we'll get to later, he said, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. We don't do any works for repentance. Now, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. This is what Paul was saying. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other thing. Listen, none other things than Moses, which the prophets, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That's what he said. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people, as the Jews, and to the Gentiles. Okay. Now, what is that? Now, what is this that he talked about the prophets and the Moses? That what did the prophets say, and what did Moses say? Go over to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. This is what Paul, over in Acts 9, in verse 20, went straight into synagogue, straightway saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which was in Old Testament prophecy. You saw it right there. The prophets and Moses said this. It's in there that this, verse 1 of Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now that wasn't in the Old Testament scriptures, but separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to right here, there's not one iota of anything about salvation. That's what is it? It's the gospel of God that Jesus Christ was crucified. I bet you didn't think I'd get to this. Very. Resurrected. From the dead on the third day. But that wasn't known in Rome. He didn't write that in Romans chapter 1:1-4. And what he was talking about was what was it Moses and the Old Testament prophets said. That's what Paul said. That's what I went out and taught him in Acts chapter 9, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Well, that's what that is. It's the gospel of God. Now, with that knowledge, this was known by Satan. It wasn't hid in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That mystery was that he was going to rise and for your sins. This is the gospel of God, and there is no salvation in it for us. Not in this dispensation. Now, I wanted you to see that. Back over to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to skip down and I'm going to go to verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. Now, when I say strength, I believe the Lord was showing him some things here when it's talking about strength in the Lord. And confounded the Jews, which dwelt at Damascus. Proving. Yes?
I'm sorry. I think you said something that I don't think that you meant to say.
I probably did. What was it?
That Satan knew he was going to be resurrected. I don't think he... You said before that he didn't know.
Well, this is in the Old Testament Scriptures.
He didn't
know that he was going to die for our sins.
He was going to prosecute
Satan had access to Isaiah 53, which really spells it out. And it shows that he would live again. Job even said in Job that he would see his Savior in the flesh.
But he didn't understand why.
He did not know the reason why.
Yep. What would result in, Tommy, the result of that?
He didn't know he was dying for our sins whatsoever. That was kept secret.
That's
one of the mysteries, absolutely. This was common knowledge. And they were looking for that Messiah. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys.
We are often talked about this being confused. That Satan knew. Yeah, Satan knew that. He didn't know the result. If he knew the result, he would never let it happen.
Why?
If he knew what it was
going to be. He didn't know the why of the cross.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You're right. If you kill him off, so he wouldn't have a kingdom. So he couldn't set up the world, you know, the way he wanted to set it up. But he had no idea what it would do, what the benefit of that was.
We'll talk more about that. We'll get into that sometime.
Sorry.
No. Just keep it up. Verse 22. But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews, which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He went through the Old Testament Scriptures, going through and saying, this is the man you've been looking for.
Something like Stephen did.
Exactly. He went back, and Stephen just went back and just blasted those Jews, and he went piece by piece by piece. And that's when they ripped their clothes off, so this man shouldn't live. Now, so now we've got it twice there. And, matter of fact, I'm going to go down to 26. Well, I think I'll go to 20. Well, let's just look at this. Saul, we know that the gospel of the kingdom. Was preached, Peter and the 12. Now, after the cross, it was no longer at hand. It was before the cross that it was at hand. But we know right here that this Acts 9, Paul struck down, we've already read that. He started preaching, and I've done this, but I really want to do this. He started preaching the gospel of God, which is no salvation in. And now when we get over to Acts 13, you're going to see this. I'm going to have to...
But he preached to the Jews only.
Not yet.
That brain wasn't to the Jews?
Nope. That right there is the gospel of God, that green is. No salvation.
To whom?
Anybody. Actually, the Jews, because that's... But if, I thought you meant we were talking about the gospel of Christ. We're not yet. Okay, now, so we know the body of Christ started at Acts chapter 9. Paul is saved by grace. Jesus Christ explained those things to him, how he was saved. Now, over here, and what I want to show you is, at this point in time in Acts 9, he was preaching the gospel of God, which is no salvation in. So, what he did, go over to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, And I'm going to go to verse 15. But right here, after he was proved in verse 22 of Acts chapter 9, I believe this took place at this point, right here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes this book and he says this, but when it pleased God, and it was the time right then that it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So we know it was unmerited favor that the Lord Jesus Christ saved him. To reveal something. To reveal his son, Jesus Christ, in me. God did this, that I might preach him, his son, Jesus Christ, among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. We're going to back up here and read some more in Galatians, but he didn't ask anybody that was on this earth. He said, I didn't confer with any flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them. And he's saying, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles, which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now, here's the thing. He went into Arabia right after Acts chapter 9, verse 22. He went to Arabia. The Bible, I've heard more people preach the time limit there. It ain't in the scriptures. It didn't say 40 days. It didn't say 3 years. People try to make it. Well, he was teaching the apostles down here, the 12. He was teaching them for 3 years plus a little bit. And he had to do Paul the same way. No, he didn't. Well, maybe 40 days. He was down here teaching them after the cross 40 days. Well, maybe he taught them for 40 days. Didn't say that. Didn't say anything about how long he was over in Arabia. But when he left, there's no doubt in my mind, he was over in Arabia and he was being schooled or taught by Jesus Christ. He was given revelation. Was he given every revelation? Absolutely not. He was given a little bit. It's kind of like, you got to walk before you can run, brother.
It's kind of like waiting on grace.
It's progressive revelation. We don't get it all at one time. Ain't none of us got it all anyway. But we don't get what we got all at one time. Now, but look at verse 18. Then, after he went in there and returned, he returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years of being in Damascus, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode or stayed with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save, and which means except, James, the Lord's brothers. Now, flip back over here to Acts chapter 9. So we take up verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And then, of course, verse 25, it tells you how he got out of it. And in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to be a part of them. So he still didn't know a whole bunch. But they were all afraid of him. Those apostles, or disciples, were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly, listen to this, at Damascus, in the name of Jesus. We don't preach in the name of Jesus. We trust Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected for our justification is what we do. We don't preach just the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus just won't save you. It just won't. Now, let's see what happens. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you? And all this right here is just back up. Verse 27, when he said, how he had seen the Lord in the way. That means in his travels to Damascus. Had seen the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says this, just to back it up. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not you my work? In other words, he says, have I not seen Jesus? Of course he's seen Jesus. That's just another reference here. Go to chapter 15, verse 8. Same chapter. The same book. This is talking about Jesus Christ as he was risen from the dead. And, you know, our gospel is here, but I want to go into chapter 15, as 1 Corinthians, and go down here, verse 7. Verse 6. I'll get it in a minute. Talking to verse 5. And he's talking about Jesus. And that he, Jesus, was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen, talking about Jesus, written. But some are falling asleep. Some are dying. Now, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8 is what I wanted you to see. And last of all, he was seen of me. He saw him on the road to Damascus. And then we probably saw him over in Arabia. It didn't say so. As of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, back over to Acts chapter 9. I want to go to Acts. Well, that's fine enough than that. Acts chapter 9. And I want to go to verse 29. As he was going out of, in and out of Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 9, 29. And he, Saul, spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. The Grecians now are Jews that speak Greek. They're not the Greeks. As in Romans chapter 1, 16. They're not the Greeks. Greeks are Gentiles who blessed the seed of Abraham. But these Grecians are Jews that speak Greek. Okay, just so you understand that part. I don't want you to be confused on that. Spake no boldly in the name of disputing against the Grecians. Man, he had some problems there. He sure did. Now, I was putting together a little... I was going to draw a little chart and I was going to hand it out this morning. Last night about 11 o'clock. I said, I'll just whip this out real quick. So I started on it. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't do that. Look, this is scribbled, but... and I ain't got all I want to say on there.
We know you're correct about the Grecians because the Greeks, you know, were always accepting of any kind of religion, anything that came up, you know. But Jews, that's a different story.
It is. It is.
So that's for sure.
Now, we talked about last week, and I'm just going to give you the references just for people that weren't here. And then I'm going to take a quick break. But we, if you were here last week, you heard this. And Tuesday night, I heard it. So, but I want you to see. And we talked about Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, that Jesus Christ is the testator. You remember Pat up there whenever I had such a problem out of Ricky on what a testator was? Oh my God. But anyway, you edited that out. Now, here's the thing. In Matthew 27, verse 50, I'm just going to give you these references. That right there, when Jesus gave up the ghost, that ended the Old Testament. Matthew 27, 50. Everything prior to that was Old Testament. Mark 15, 37, gave up the ghost. Prior to that, all Old Testament. Luke 23, 46, same thing. John 14, 30, same thing. When he gave up the ghost, that ended the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. You can go to Hebrews chapter 8 and you can start reading on it. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 9 and it talks about the death of the testator, or there can't be a new covenant or a new testament. And I did state this last week and I said, look, they put red letters in your Bible for a reason, to sell books. The publisher did around 1898, and I did say this. That page you got in there that says New Testament was put in there by a publisher too, and he didn't have a clue what was going on. So, that's not the New Testament. Even though there was a break of about 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, the fact of it is, that was still Old Testament. And full prophecy was being fulfilled. I tell you what, go over to Romans chapter 15 real quick, and we'll start something else after the break. Romans chapter 15. verse 8. This is about Jesus Christ. Now I say, Paul writes, that Christ was a minister, a servant, humble. That Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was prophecy taking place that was not completed until Jesus Christ completed it. He fulfilled the word of God there of prophecy. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to come back after a break. The only way, I don't care what school you've been to, if you've got PhDs running down your throat, the fact of it is, you cannot be saved except for one way. You've got to trust the fact that Christ was crucified. Today is the first day of the week. When they went to the tomb, He was out of the ground already. It was an empty tomb. The stone was removed. He was buried in that tomb. That's the sepulcher. That was a new sepulcher. Nobody had ever been laid in it. He was resurrected on the third day, and He told them all of that. He's alive for your justification to pay for all your sins. All your sins, your past, your present sins, have been paid for. What are you repenting for? What are you asking for forgiveness for? That's a reproach upon God Almighty Himself. Because you don't believe what He said in His book. And He wrote this book. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you've got a bunch of dung. You ain't got a Bible. You ain't got a Holy Bible. Throw it away in the garbage. You might as well just trash it right now. Rip it to pieces. Shred it. Whatever you want to do. Don't give it to nobody else. Yes?
I was going to say, too, as long as... That's why I'd rather divide the word truth is so important. Because you're going to believe, repent, and be baptized. And if you try to mix it, or you try to do anything else, you will never see that. And until you really see that...
And you'll never be totally relying on your justification.
Right. Because I think... I'll talk to after break about that. But that's the reason why I think that Satan never saw the fact that Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, because he was listening to the gospel that they were preaching, the gospel of the kingdom, and that's why he didn't see this coming. It's there in Scripture that Christ would justify many and that he would die for their sins. It was all written, but they would not see it as long as the gospel of the kingdom was going on. It blinds the eyes. And so all you got to do is see people today, and the Church of Christ is a fine example, not the,
slam them.
But and the point is that they cannot see this because they believe that. Yeah. And that's the problem. And that's but that was the way God hid it. And it's hid to them, they're lost. Now salvation never came until the Apostle Paul started preaching. There was nobody saved up until that point. Until you see that, you will never, ever be saved. And Israel, and that's the reason why the Jewish people today, even though they've accepted Jesus Christ, they haven't believed that for themselves.
Right. The Messianic Jews are just going to burn in hell just like a regular Jew if they haven't trusted this.